Welcome, everyone, to tonight's Master Talk. This is Dr. Mike Reed from Chiropractic Masters International. I want to welcome our very special guest, Dr. Jill LaMarche, who is currently the VP of Professional Relations at Life University. Jill has been a mentor, a friend, a coach. He's what I consider one of the top leaders in the chiropractic profession. And Jill, I'm going to ask you to talk about Life Vision at the end as well. So first of all, Jill, welcome.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mike. It's a pleasure to join you and your elite group of chiropractors.
And this is actually an open call, so it's gone out to our entire database because we want doctors to join us from all over the world. And, you know, this is such an important topic because I've always believed that everything you do in life starts with vision. And I know we've talked about this a number of years ago, Jill, in one of the Master Talks, and it's great having you back and sort of allowing doctors to be re-dipped into vision because I believe this is the springboard to greatness. And you know, I've asked you to join us tonight to really share your expertise, help doctors discover and create clarity and vision for their future. So, Jill, maybe I'll just turn it over to you, and you can segue into vision, or if you want, just really talk about why vision is so critical for successful practices nowadays.
Sure, happy to do that. Well, as you know, we created the book we really wanted to talk about tonight. And you know, the first question I ask is, I'm the type of guy who likes to ask people questions, knowing very well that the majority of you, if not all of you, on the call or will listen to this on a recording later.
So go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so you already know the answer to most of these questions, but the majority of the time, you have not taken the time to even ask the question. And one of my mentors said years ago, he said, you know, to get a quality answer, you've got to ask a quality question. To get a difficult answer, you've got to ask a difficult question. And so the first question that I ask you is, you know, are you happy with where you are in your practice? Are you happy with where you are in your life? And if the answer to that is no, and I know asking that face-to-face to many people, the majority answer, well, no, I'm not really. I'm okay, but, you know, it could be better. I would tell you that the first thing that needs to happen, if your answer to this question is no, the first thing that needs to happen is that you must take full responsibility for your life experiences. And I'll tell you, it's not always easy. It's not always easy, but you've got to take full responsibility until you experience the almost magical quality that you'll feel when you do, when you take full responsibility. And so I'm going to assume that since you're on this call and you probably saw the bullet points of what we're going to talk about, that you're looking to improve some condition of you, whether it's your physical, mental, or spiritual well-being, whether it's your practice, wanting to serve more people, wanting to serve people differently. And important to remember that the first relationship that you have is with yourself. And this relationship will set the tone for all your other relationships. In other words, you teach people how to treat you by how you choose to treat yourself. Show your practice members how to behave in your practice, how to follow through with your recommendations by how you behave, by how you follow through with the recommendations, how you follow through with promises that you make to your patients or practice members, how you follow through when you say you're going to provide them with a written report of findings, but you don't, how you follow through when you say you're going to provide them with some exercise, but you don't, how you tell them that you're going to do a reevaluation on visit 12, but you wait till visit 14. All these things for many may seem like small points, but let me tell you, the way people treat you will be how they watch you treat yourself. So my recommendation is that you would start today on discovering and appreciating your own goodness. You focus first on loving yourself, the way you ultimately want others to love you. Then you can move to looking at others. So whatever your position, whatever your lot in life right now, just know that you'll always be given an opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life if you choose to, and you first have to look at how you treat yourself. So watch for signs. And I would tell you, guaranteed signs all around you. So become more aware of your true purpose. And we'll talk a little bit later on vision. But become aware of your true purpose, how you can serve another human being. And one of the ways that I to start, focus on taking one action every single day that will make someone's day, whatever it might be. So in the airport, I was traveling from Toronto, can't remember what day, but it's recently, today's Tuesday, right? Okay, so it's Sunday night, late flight coming back to Atlanta. And you know, I mean, you look at the the clerks at those airline counters and how people are aggressive towards them, aren't always kind. I mean, all it takes is a smile. I mean, I was going through, I was going through immigration and how I chose to greet, for example, the immigration officer. I always greet with a smile. I know that the majority of the time they won't smile back, but I greet them with a smile and I say good morning and I thank them for the work that they're doing. And invariably, it puts a smile on their face. Now, that's not that difficult to do, is it? And so the first statement that I consciously input into my brain every single morning, which has had a major positive influence on my life, is this. I will greet this day with love in my heart, every person, every situation, every circumstance. And so I start my day with those words inputted, you know, deeply into my brain. And then I focus on looking for the good. I mean, there's garbage everywhere. If you want to find it, you can find it. I don't read the newspaper. I don't watch the news. I just figure if there's something real serious that I'm supposed to know about, somebody's bound to tell me. But I focus on looking for the good in people and looking for the good in situations. And invariably, I always find something good. And when I find it, I relate it back to that person. Somebody's smiling. You know, the other day in a restaurant, the hostess, you know, sat us down. I was with my boy at the Indie, and the hostess sat us down in a very nice restaurant. And, you know, she asked the question, so how are you this evening, gentlemen? You know, it's such a pleasure to welcome you at our restaurant. And I thanked her. And I said, and how are you doing today? I said, you have such a beautiful smile. It looks like you're having an awesome day. And let me tell you, it created an amazing conversation, which continued with our server for the evening, and it made the evening that much better for us and for these two young ladies. So where are you looking to create a wow experience for another person, understanding that invariably when you create a wow experience for another person, you're going to be doing the same thing for yourself? So I don't do it to serve me, but let me tell you, the more I serve other people, the more it actually serves me. I learned from my original mentor in chiropractic, you know, loving service, my first technique. Then I came to Life University last fall and discovered this statement that life operates under. To give, to do, to love, to serve from a sense of abundance, expecting nothing in return. And I thought, wow, different words, same concept as loving service, my first technique. And when you choose to live in that space, you do it from a sense of serving others. And as I mentioned, invariably, it comes back to you and it truly does serve you. So where are you looking at creating a wow of an experience? And are you conscious to create that in your practice with all your practice members from the first time they call to how they're greeted when they come into the office, the paperwork that they're presented with when they fill out the forms, if they haven't done so online. How are they greeted by your receptionist, your CA? How are they greeted by anyone who's part of your team? How do you greet them? Are you creating an excellent customer service experiences? Because we know that businesses and other enterprises have been searching for excellence for a few decades. You may remember an author by the name of Tom Peters. He was the first business author to advocate excellent in business. But if we look around us, we find that there's mediocrity of products, there's mediocrity of services, and it shows that not everybody is delivering a wow experience. And obviously, as clients, not all of us are discovering an excellent experience. So excellence, as we search for it, means rising to meet or to surpass, I'd say, agreed upon expectations and standards for performance. When was the last time you took an inventory of your service delivery performance? When's the last time you took delivery of how anybody on your team is delivering service? You know, because this, the noun excellence draws from the verb excel. And I know for many it brings to mind like sort of competition against other people, or perhaps maybe competition against your own earlier achievements. We know we're in a competitive world, and that really in the world of business, you can't really ever rest. But what we want to be sure that we attend to, pay attention to, pursue to the best of our ability is the details. You know, Excel makes us think of a competitive arena, as I said, with spectators cheering us on. But what you'll notice is that people who are truly committed to excellence, they demonstrate it. In fact, we're a little obsessed by it. We look at how we deliver it. We look at how people we interact with are delivering it back to us. But we deliver it even when nobody's looking and nobody's likely to know what was actually involved. And so you show up at an event and you're wowed by the event. We don't talk to you about the ABCs, every single detail, the painstaking plan that was put together to deliver the details, because it's not important. What we want you to experience is, wow, wow. Now, isn't that what you would want your practice members to experience every time they come into your office? If you've never asked yourself the question, I can tell you that if you ask your practice members, and I use patient and practice members somewhat interchangeably. A patient is a patient until they choose to become a lifetime chiropractic practice member. So when you hear me say patient, practice member, patient is somebody who's not fully committed. A practice member is somebody who's fully committed. So I would tell you that every patient who crosses a threshold is expecting an excellent experience, or at least a good experience. When you deliver above the bar, they go, wow. And that's what I strive to do in my practice. During my 25 years of practice, that's what we focused on in our office, creating that wow of an experience. So as I said, we deliver it because we want to. And so excellence is the execution of a task, doing it just so. But it's also an attitude. It's an attitude that you bring to the task. In other words, it comes with the determination to do the right thing as well as you can and to do things right as well as you can. So it's about the why as much as the what. You've probably heard this old story about someone watching these gentlemen build a building. And the guy says to the first gentleman, he says, "So what are you doing?" He says, "Oh, I'm cutting and laying stone." He goes to the second guy. He says, "So what are you doing?" I mean, two guys working on the same project. He says, "Oh, I'm building a cathedral." And then he goes to the third guy, again, says, "So, sir, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm serving God." Now, all three of them were doing the same thing as far as the task is concerned, but the motivation that they brought to the task was different. And so remember that Excel may make you think of a competitive arena with spectators cheering you on, but people who are truly committed to excellence, they demonstrate it, they're obsessed by it, even when nobody's looking or nobody's likely to even know that it actually happened. So focusing on excellence is going to help you become happier in practice. Focusing on excellence is going to help you grow your practice, serve your community at a higher level. And I can tell you that when you accept full responsibility, life changes for the better. When you fail to accept personal responsibility, what consequences are you likely to live or not live? Important question to ask. So I would ask you to do this work for yourself, for your practice, for your community, for your practice members, and ask yourself, you know, what do I achieve when I choose to be personally responsible for the outcome of everything that happens in my practice? And I'm not saying being personally responsible for the outcome of the care you provide. In other words, we know that the sixth principle of the 33 takes, you know, nothing in the world that take, you know, I mean, everything in the world takes time. And so you don't blame yourself if the person is not getting as well as you anticipated, but you take personal responsibility to deliver the care. You take personal responsibility to alter the care if you believe that the care should be altered. You take personal responsibility to communicate, to have the people understand what it is that you're doing, to have the people get the big idea. Because when you choose to accept personal responsibility, how different might your life be if you have not accepted full responsibility yet?
Jill, let me ask you a question, because this is all great stuff, but I got a burning question. And I get responsibility, I get, vision, but you've coached doctors in the past, I've coached doctors in the past, and there's always this tipping point that we need to get people over to get them hungry to assume responsibility, to get them out of maybe a lower self-esteem, apathy, procrastination, because I think that one of the greatest attributes a person can have that they can really embody to really get what they want in life is to get hungry. And what I want to ask you is, how does one get to the point where they're hungry enough to want to assume the responsibility? They're hungry enough to get over the apathy or the laziness or maybe just that lower self-esteem that they're not good enough. I have my personal, you know, perspective on it, but I really want to hear yours so they can grab that vision and run with it.
I believe that you can't be grateful and apathetic, for example, at the same time.
So it comes down to state.
It's a state. It's a state of mind. It's a state of heart. And when we start taking full responsibility for the results we've achieved so far, then I'll walk you into, you know, what does a vision statement look like? What could you create that will be an inspiration to you? And when you have it, what is it that typically occurs in your mind, in your body, in your physiology when you are living on purpose? Because I see personal responsibility as the ability to take care of yourself by means of keeping healthy, managing your emotions, keeping a sound mind, treating yourself with respect, taking responsibility for your actions, accepting the consequences that come from those actions or their inactions, and understanding that what you do starts with what you think. And what you do impacts you, it impacts everybody around you. So as a responsible person, you have the capacity to determine what's right or wrong, what's good or bad, what's within or outside your control. And when you take personal responsibility, you're likely to move in the direction you aspire living. That's the place where inspiration grows. But until you take full responsibility for where you are and for where you want to go, you are unlikely to be inspired. Hey, you may go to an event and feel motivated, but as David Jackson so well says, or actually Patrick Gentempo says this, he said it's probably going to be a jacuzzi experience. It's going to be rah, rah, rah for 2 or 3 days, maybe 5 days or a week, and then you're going to be back in the same freaking rut that you were in before you went, because you haven't taken that step to move into that state of, I am responsible for where I am in my life now. And if I want to be somewhere different, I must make different decisions based on different thought processes, create a plan, and take responsibility to move the plan forward. Because I'll tell you, there's other questions that I'd love for you to ask yourself. How can failing to make a change negatively impact you in your future? Right. So if you're writing down, write down how can failing to make a change negatively impact me and my future? And the next question is, how will making a change positively impact my future? And I think, Dr. Mike, that's where it really happens. Because personal responsibility to create change is an obligation to you. It's your willingness to ensure your good character and your great behavior, irrespective of your past. When you wake up tomorrow, you will be given a blank canvas to draw your life on. Sure, you have a past, but tomorrow's canvas, when you wake up, it's completely blank. And so individual responsibility will include being accountable for your health, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, your wealth, your practice development, your success, your happiness. It all starts with responsibility. So if you're living in a mess and you find yourself in somewhat of a disorderly life, recognize that somehow you allowed that to happen. And life always gives you consequences related to your actions or to your inaction. That's where it all starts. And that's why I thought that was a good place to begin our talk today, because it's to give you a starting point. As you so well asked, Dr. Mike, like, you know, where do people start? How do we get people inspired? And it, to me, it starts with a reflection. You know, if you're not inspired to get up in the morning and live a vision or a purpose, if you're not enthusiastically working on your purpose, if you don't even know what your purpose is clearly, if you're not doing something that you love to do and want to accomplish, people will pick up on that. You're not going to build a wonderful, thriving, happy practice if you don't have vision and purpose. Because I'll tell you, you cannot delegate your enthusiasm to somebody else. You can't say, oh, I'm in a crappy mood, but I've got an enthusiastic CA. You've got to bring that enthusiasm to the world. You've got to bring that inspiration to the world. You have to start with being inspired. That will lead you to being enthusiastic. And that all starts with having a very clear vision that leads you to developing a very clear purpose. And so my next question, and obviously nobody can answer it, but you can answer it for yourself. You know, do you have a clear written vision / purpose statement for your life? And do you have a clear vision purpose statement for your practice? My vision statement that I've had for over 2 decades, actually almost 3 decades now, I think, is very simple. And I tell myself this every single day. I pledge my life to my greatest expression of love and service for the benefit of humanity. That's why I wake up in the morning. I go to bed, I think about that at night. So when I wake up tomorrow morning, this is how I'm going to wake up. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to make the same pledge as I made this morning. I pledge and read it. I mean, listen to it rather. I pledge my life to my greatest expression of love and service for the benefit of humanity. It's a pretty strong purpose statement. It feeds me. Let me tell you, it feeds me. It feeds me the best possible brain and heart food that I could ever be fed since I discovered this statement for myself, like I said, like I think at least 30 years ago. And it's been powerful because I think that the purpose in life is to be useful, responsible, honorable, compassionate. It's to count. It's to stand for something. It's to know that, you know, when they lay the coffin down or lay the urn down or spread the ashes on the water, that my life is going to made a difference, is going to have made a difference in somebody else's life. And that's why having a strong vision or purpose statement is so important. And then one for your practice. I mean, the majority of people, when I ask them, you know, do you have a purpose statement for your life? I will tell you the majority say, no, I don't. When I ask a group of chiropractors, do you have a purpose statement or a mission or vision statement for your practice? Some of them say yes. So if we're in a large audience, I'd say, you know, how many of you, and I won't embarrass anybody, but how many of you have a written purpose statement for your practice? You get maybe 10 to 15% of the hands go up. And then I said, keep your hands up and answer this question. Of those of you with your hands up, how many of you could, if I asked you, but I won't, but if I asked you to come up here and actually recite your purpose statement verbatim to the audience, how many of you could? And invariably, more than half the hands drop. And so in a crowd of 300, maybe 30 will have a purpose statement. 15 will put their keep their hands up saying they could recite it. And when I ask them one-on-one, two or three of them could recite it. What it tells me is that 1% or so of our profession have a clear purpose statement that is etched in stone in their mind and in their heart, and that's what they live from. They do everything from that place. And I want to share with you what inspired me to come to life. I'd been sort of so-called retired and bored for about a year, and Dr. Riekman reached out to me. And I came to meet him. We didn't know each other. We knew of each other. Probably nobody in the profession who doesn't know who Guy Riekman is, but, you know, we knew of each other, but we didn't know each other. We'd never broken bread together. We'd shaken hands, hello, a couple times, but that was about it. And I met with him for two solid days, privately, just the two of us at his home, and had some amazing conversations about where we thought we could take chiropractic if we had a large enough team of people and a dedicated enough team. And prior to going to meet him, I went on the Life website, and I read everything I could about Life. Of course, like most of you, I knew about Life University. I'd never been here. You know, I knew a little bit about its history. I knew a little bit about its founder, but I didn't know a lot about it. And what really touched my heart was when I read Life's vision statement. And I'm going to read it to you because I believe that this statement could be a starting point for everybody on this call if you don't yet have a vision statement for your practice, because you'll see how intimate it is to the chiropractic profession and how intimate it can be to any chiropractic organization. And of course, you can go to the life.edu and actually find the vision statement. But I'll read it slowly for you, and I'll talk about it a little bit. Our goal is to maximize the expression of the perfection within. We recognize that all organic systems in the universe are conscious, self-developing, self-maintaining, and self-healing. We believe that these systems work best when they are free from interference. We understand that the nervous system is primarily responsible for orchestrating the internal and external dialogue of the body necessary for life. We acknowledge that there are three interferences to the nervous system: physical trauma, environmental toxins, and emotional stress. Therefore, our purpose is to correct these interferences, allowing the organism to express its innate potential. Now, imagine if you chose this as your purpose statement for your practice, and you had the buy-in of your entire team, and you then framed it, and you put it wherever people can read it, in every single room in your office where it was visible. I can guarantee you, when people would read that, I had a strong purpose statement. I started the purpose of the team at LaMarche Chiropractic, and it went on. But this is the strongest chiropractic purpose statement I have ever read in my life. And I think that if we had an open discussion, that the majority of you would agree that this could be a purpose statement for any practice on the globe. And I can tell you that if you read a statement like this to the point where it creates a sympathetic nervous system reaction, it causes you to shake a little bit. It causes you to be excited. It causes you to be nervous. It causes you to have a little bit of a happy tear. It causes you to wonder if you can deliver on this. That's what you want. because I can guarantee you that from this space, you become a different person. And when you become that person, wow, your world will be on fire. And you automatically become attractive to people that may have never even considered coming to your practice before. It's powerful.
You know, Jill, those key words, analyze the statement, that moved me. I just want to share this with you.
Yes.
Maximize expression of the perfection within. I mean, I get goosebumps when I hear that because that says it all. That is a catalyzing statement that really gets people to want to hitch their wagon on yours. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So
it definitely is the catalyzing statement because in these two, I mean, in this entire, you know, paragraph that I read for you, the top statement, as you mentioned, is a catalyzing statement, and the last statement is a catalyzing statement. Therefore, our purpose is to correct these interferences, allowing the organism to express its innate potential. Because we're really all about understanding that we maximize the expression of the perfection within, and we do that by correcting the interferences that will allow the organism to express its innate potential. Beautiful.
So powerful.
Comment,
Jill, I have a question for you because this is something that, you know, a lot of people struggle with every morning. And I heard you mention I don't watch the news or watch TV, and I stay away from that as well. It's nothing constructive or congruent with our visions. But what do you use, because the listeners on this phone would be curious what Dr. Jill Marsh uses, as anchors, as triggers to start your morning rituals? You talked about your affirmations. I heard a little bit of Og Mandino in there. To really start, you know, the proper thinking, the changes in your physiology. I know what I do, and they've heard me a million times. I'm curious to know how you start your day to get in the proper mindset and body frame.
So I have a couple of different things that I do regularly. The first, you're right to notice Og Mandino. I'll greet this day with love in my heart. That is out of Og Mandino's book, The Greatest Salesman in the World. And if there is anybody in this audience that has not read that book, put that on the priority of your list of reading. I don't care how many books you have sitting on your desk or your nightstand right now. Order this little tiny book and read it. Now, this is what I was told years ago by a gentleman that you may or may not have heard of. I know Dr. Michael know him, but Charles Tremendous Jones. Charlie was one of the top inspirational speakers in the world for decades. He passed away, I don't know, 5 or more years ago. But Charlie used to say, you'll be the same person you are today or tomorrow as you are today, but for the books you read and the people you meet. And he said, for a book to have an impact on you, and he had suggested two books that people should read and reread. And I then followed up and used The Greatest Sales in the World as the third book that I chose to read once a month for 1 year. So I had three books that I read once a month for 1 year. The first was, Napoleon Hill's.
Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich, thank you. And the next one was How to Win Friends and Influence People by Carnegie. And then the third one was The Greatest Sales in the World. So I dedicated an entire year to reading each of those books once a month. And let me tell you, by the end of the year, I owned the material. And so my morning ritual starts by looking at the abbreviated 10 scrolls that Og Mandino talks about in his book, The Greatest Salesman in the World. Today, I begin a new life as scroll number one. Scroll number two is, I will greet this day with love in my heart. And then I add words to it. That's why mine is, I will greet this day with love in my heart, every person, every situation, every circumstance. Those are my words at the end. And then the third is, you know, I'll persist until I succeed. And then I just focus on those 10 statements. You know, what am I willing to do today that's going to add value to my life and to the life of people I serve? Where am I going to require the courage, the energy, the respect to persist? You know, the fourth is, I'm nature's greatest miracle. A difficult one for most of us because, you know, most of us have self-esteem issues at some point in our life. And we've got to work at getting beyond that. So once you've read the scroll and you understand the scroll, then you can look just at the abbreviation, I'm nature's greatest miracle, and then speak to that. This is not about ego. This is just about recognizing that God gave us these gifts, these talents, to live our life fully and to truly embrace these gifts and learn to share them with the world. So I look at the abbreviated scrolls. And then for now 37 years, I have looked at principles written by my mentor, Dr. Jim Parker. Wrote the Parker Principles, 13 of them. And I've had them on my desk, either at my office, but now presently at my home. And that's what I read in the morning. And recently, and I'm going to release these at Life Vision on the weekend, recently I wrote a series of principles called the Life Vision Principles for Success, Health, and Happiness. You know, transforming your life. And I wrote 13 of them because Dr. Jim used to talk about, you know, the number 13 being the baker's dozen. And I wrote one on lasting purpose. I wrote one on competence. I wrote one on love, on appreciation, on enthusiasm, on compassion, on focus, on excellence. What else? On growth, on character, on accountability, on mission, and on being a visionary. You know, and the mission one strikes because we're talking about vision today, but I wrote, average performers are goal-driven, peak performers are mission-driven. I'm not telling you I don't have goals. I have goals, but it's not my goals that drive me. It's my mission that drives me. It's my purpose to bring chiropractic to the world and impact world health. That drives me. And then I set goals. I go from the purpose or the vision statement, and I break it back down and say, okay, how is that achievable? And I, you know, you got to do it in bite sizes. One of the lines that we recently coined at Life was, you know, be a vitalistic visionary, relentlessly committed to producing disruptive, positive social change.
I love it.
Be willing to be disruptive in a good way. So those are the rituals that, you know, that I follow morning. And I end that in a state of gratitude. So I'm Christian. I mean, I connect with God, and I end in a state of gratitude. For me, it doesn't matter who you are, what your beliefs are. You know, if you believe in a higher power, connect with a higher power. There is no judgment that ever comes out of me. But if you don't have a ritual by which you prepare yourself, and I do mental and heart first. So I do mental and spirit first, and then I do my physical rituals. So, you know, I like to work out. I prefer to work out in the morning. And depending on the day, I might work out for 5 minutes. I might work out for 45 minutes. I might go for a 5K run if I've got the time. I might just choose to do, you know, 20, 30 push-ups, 20, 30 sit-ups, do some extensions, and just activate my brain and nervous system so I can think at my highest level. But that's how I start my day, Mike. And I've been doing it for, like I said, the Parker Principles I've been doing for 37 years. And you know, I know it by heart, but I still recite them.
I love this stuff, and you know, I'm so congruent with your message and your vision here. What I like to do, Jill, is because we're on an open call. There's a lot of doctors that are on this, doc. So I just want to do a few Q&A because, you know, I've been a good friend of Jill's and following, you know, his careers, and he is truly one of the movers and shakers in our profession. And I just wanted you guys have an opportunity to say hello to Jill or ask a question or just tap in his wisdom. So what I like to do, just state your name, where do you practice, and your question for Jill and Marcia. Who's our first caller? Who has a question? Come on, guys, who's going to be the first? Somebody's got to be out there, has a burning question on vision, taking it to the next level, how to share it with others, how to get over the hump. Nobody. Dr. Brian Moore, I know you're on the phone there. I can see your number right in front of me. I want to volunteer, Brian. Come on out and say hi to Jill.
You've been amazing, Jill, on this, and I'm just impressed. So thank you so much.
My pleasure, Brian.
All right. Any other doctors with questions for Dr. LaMarche?
Hi, Jill. This is Dr. Ron Wagner.
Hey, Ron.
It was good to hear from you tonight. It was well placed. I got a great lot of stuff out of that. It helps me reposition myself on some of my rituals that have kind of went slack. So it's really good to kind of reframe, repurpose again. So thank you very much for that.
My pleasure. Thanks for being on, because I'll tell you what, I love the fact that doctors take the time to get on calls like this, because it's, you know, we're isolated when we're in practice. I mean, I practice in Northern Ontario. I mean, I felt so isolated sometimes when I was in practice. But I had friends I could count on to call, who could then call me, you know, vice versa, just supporting each other, a little mastermind group. And then calls like this, you know, that I did on a regular basis, just to make sure that I was always on purpose. So thank you for being on.
Thank you. Can we go to the website at Life? And I've misplaced those 13 principles of Parker's. Are they available?
I think that the Parker ones you might be able to find on the Parker site. I mean, I haven't been there since 2012, so I'm not sure. I know that when I was there, I made sure they were there. They may not be. But the Life Vision principles, because I'm only releasing them on the weekend, they are not yet available. But they will be available probably by the end of next week. If you go to lifevisionseminar.com, I'm actually going to have them posted there.
Okay, thank you very much.
And what I'm going to ask them to post is the actual PowerPoint presentation. So not only will you have it, you'll actually have the visuals. So you can actually download it. You can print it if you want. But the marketing team here put together some amazing visuals to go with each principle. Extremely, extremely well done. I was, like, thrilled when I saw the process all done.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Mike, I want to make a comment before we continue or end, if I can. And it's a quote from, I think, a 4th or 5th century philosopher by the name of Patanjali. And it's all about, why is having a powerful purpose for your life so crucial to living an extraordinary life? And he said, because purpose inspires you. And when you're inspired by some great purpose, your thoughts transcend their bonds. In other words, limitations disappear because your mind transcends limitations. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he went on to say, and your consciousness expands in every direction. In other words, you become more aware, you become more conscious. You have greater ability to pull in resources. And he said, and you find yourself in a new, great, and wonderful world where dormant forces, faculties, and talents come alive, and you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamt possible. That's why choosing to coin a vision purpose statement for yourself, your practice, and your life is so important. I guarantee you, when the purpose is congruent with who you are and what you feel in your heart, this is what happens. It's like a powerhouse is unleashed that you never even knew was available to you. And it's there. And it's in everyone on this call.
That's so true, Jill. I've heard that quote before. It's absolutely beautiful. Doctors who are on the call, any more questions for one of our reigning chiropractic leaders, Dr. Jill Marsh? Feel free to ask. Jill, if there's no more questions, maybe just in a few minutes you can share the vision of life, because, you know, I was down there with Guy Reichman a while ago, and I sat in a small group listening to the vision of life. I was inspired. I felt reinvigorated with where chiropractic is and where it could possibly go. So would you like to share that quickly with the doctors on this call?
Absolutely happy to do so. I'll tell you, the vision for Life University is very, very large. When Dr. Reichman came here in 2004, the place was obviously in major disarray. It was falling apart, and it was just about closed. In 10 years, after creating a strategic plan in 2005 and starting to implement in 2006, but in the 10 years since he's been here, they have met every single benchmark on the strategic plan. Starting now, we have embarked on phase 4 of our strategic plan. And as Dr. Reagan would tell you, phase 4 everything before phase four looks like chump change compared to what we want to accomplish between now and 2020. So we've got a very rigorous strategic plan that is coming, that is started to come alive. Our goal is to, we are presently the largest chiropractic program in the world. We, at last count, I didn't get the count for the beginning of this quarter, but at last count, we had 1,870 chiropractic students. We have a little over 1,000 undergrad and master's students, because we also, though the chiropractic program is our flagship program and will always be the flagship program, we have other programs that fit into the vitalistic framework of health and healing. For example, one of three programs in positive psychology, undergrad programs in positive psychology in the world, one of three. We are one of one in September starting a master's program in positive psychology. And in short order, we will make an announcement that a tenured professor at Emory University has decided to give up his tenure and actually come to life because he sees the possibility of the vision of what we're creating. The campus is not 100% green, but we're heading to 100% green because, you know, a lot of our buildings are still older. We have one building actually where the administrative offices are, the president, mine, and all the other executives where we are, is the only building at Life that has not been completely renovated. So there's a section of the building that's actually not even open because of asbestos issues. We recently built the first NBCE testing center, which will be on-demand, online testing for parts 1, 2, and 3. We launched the beta test in September. Dr. Eichmann's wanted that for years because the chiropractic curriculum in all CCE-accredited colleges has not been able to keep up with the demands of CCE. For example, when most students have to write part 1, they haven't even finished the basic sciences. So you got to try to dump basic sciences in them for, you know, almost a year and a half so they can be ready to do part 1, because by the end of their career as a student at a chiropractic institution, they're supposed to have written parts 1, 2, 3, and 4. The schools are actually going to be measured on what percentage of our students write and pass part 4 by the time they graduate. And so by having to write an exam at a particular time, most schools don't even have a chance to teach 100% of the curriculum on which the students are going to be examined in part 1. By having on-demand online testing, that is going to become a reality. And so Dr. Wiegman's been pushing for it for a decade. He's finally won this sort of argument, and Life University invested $400,000 into this testing center. The NBC did invest $100,000, but we put $400,000 of Life's money into developing this. Everything we do is in the forefront. We know that chiropractic is growing around the world. We also know that chiropractic is not growing necessarily in a vitalistic paradigm, in a principle-based chiropractic paradigm around the world. And so we're taking steps to be at the tables in that conversation to make sure that the principled chiropractic message is heard loud and clear in areas that are developing quicker than others, one of them being Italy, the other being China. We have a full-time person on the ground in China working at bringing a Life chiropractic curriculum to a university in China. It's big. And so we're taking individual and collective responsibility to protect the principle of chiropractic and to do it globally, because we can't just do it in our own backyard. The plans, as the expansion plans are requiring, are going to cost in excess of $500 million over the next 6 years at Life University. Yeah, we don't have all that money.
So how can doctors get involved, Jill? I know you have Life Vision come up this week, and if doctors would like to come down and partake and you know, get on the bandwagon with Life, how can they find more about Life Vision? It's getting a little late in the week, but you can still get – I just got my flight to come down. I'm speaking there. But how can these doctors online find out more about Life and Life Vision?
Well, lightvisionseminar.com is one of the websites that talks a little bit about Light Vision. And Light Vision is a new initiative at Life University. It's basically our seminar brand. And one of the reasons why, you know, I came to Life was to build this Light Vision seminar brand, understanding that an issue with most of our colleagues is that they don't have a solid vision. And so Life Vision is not where you're going to get continuing education credits. Life Vision is where you're going to be inspired to discovering your lasting purpose, where we'll support you to expand and truly envision the future of chiropractic. So it's really it's a high energy, high impact, it's inspirational, and yes, it's educational, because our other goal is to give you the tools to build and maintain a highly successful practice. So we first work with your heart, and then we give you tools to work with that actually help build what you want to build. One of our initiatives also is an initiative that I also run is Life Force 1000. The goal of Life Force 1000 is to build a team of 1,000 chiropractors who are dedicated to bringing chiropractic to the world, supporting Life University's vision by holding, you know, student recruitment events or, you know, attending some of our functions, supporting what it is that we're doing, financially supporting if you have the ability, you know, referring students to Life University, whether it be, you know, from undergrad on, and looking at everything that we're doing and seeing that we are a vitalistic university. Every program that we will have here has vitalism attached to it. So the principles of chiropractic are intertwined in our programs. Now, we're not making chiropractic with all these people. Some people don't want to be chiropractic. They want to have a good undergrad degree. But positive psychology blends into that. You know, clinical nutrition blends into that. A master's or a bachelor's degree in sports sciences blends into that, because we tie in the vitalistic philosophy. For example, you know, our teams, because we have a lot of sports teams at Life, our teams have a regular chiropractic evaluation. They are evaluated nutritionally. Yes, we have athletic therapists, you know, to deal with the injuries, but our goal, and we're going to start doing research on that, is to show the effectiveness of the care on our athletes, on their levels of performance, because we are about to launch an optimum performance center at Life University as well. We have the only functional neurology center in any chiropractic institution anywhere in the world. Functional neurology that's directly linked to chiropractic. So in, for example, someone may have had a head injury, but let me tell you, they are always assessed for subluxation. And we always focus on correcting the subluxation and doing anything other functional neurology-wise that could actually enhance, you know, their recovery and their state of performance. And so I would encourage you, you know, if you are not involved with any school, if you're not involved with your alma mater in any way, get involved somewhere, somehow. If you're not happy with the alma mater because it doesn't meet the vision that you have for chiropractic now, you know, give me a call, come and visit, come and experience what we have at Life, and I guarantee you, like I was, you'll be blown away. I had no idea what this institution was accomplishing. I had no idea the facilities that were here on 100-plus acres, beautiful, green, lush, with a creek going down the middle. I mean, it's a phenomenal place. Every day I drive on campus, I have to pinch myself and go, wow, who would have thought this little kid from Timmins would end up being a VP at Life University and having such a good time working 12, 14-hour days. And I say that jokingly because they're not all 12, 14-hour days, but it just happens that this week is going to be one of those weeks. It's a phenomenal place. So know that you're invited to come and visit anytime. My email address is pretty simple. It's Gilles, G-I-L-L-E-S, LaMarche, at life.edu. And like Dr. Mike was saying, the next Life Vision is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, here in Atlanta. The following one will be November 7th and 8th. Then after that, we go to February 2021. And watch for the possibility, if we have any Canadian friends, watch for the possibility of Life Vision coming to Canada in 2015. I'm working on some details. There's a possibility that will happen. And then watch for the possibility also, if you want a really wonderful trip, of Life Vision possibly going to Italy. I'm actually discussing that with the president of the Association of Italian Chiropractors and their attorney tomorrow here in Atlanta, Georgia. They're actually coming to visit for the weekend. So we're on the move. It's there are conversations happening at this school that are not happening anywhere else in chiropractic. I can guarantee you that.
That's amazing. I would love to see a Life University in Canada too, to be honest, but maybe down the road on the blackboard.
That's a ways down the road. I think we should still attract Canadian students to come to Marietta and experience Life University at its best right here.
Yeah, I know that. You know that. Well, listen, Jill, thanks for being on our Master Talk and for the doctors who are listening. And, you know, if you can throw your support, not if, but throw your support behind Life, because this is the university that's going to be setting the new benchmark for vitalistic chiropractic in the world. So, Dr. LaMarche, my friend, thank you for joining us tonight and sharing your wisdom with all the doctors on this call.
Always an honor to be invited, and it's a distinct pleasure to share with your audience and with you, Dr. Mike. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Thanks again, Jill. All right, Doc, thanks for being on this Master Talk. I look forward to our next Power Talk or CA call. Thanks, and have a great night.